Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Too much noise right now. More work, less noise. I feel like I was enemy of the f***ing state.
And how I feel is that the kid just needs to put on a helmet. There's over 30 different kinds. But come on, man. Just get a helmet on. You'll be fine.
Dale Arnold.
Brady's team, he wins the freaking Super Bowl. Of course he's the GOAT. May not be the boat.
What now?
Best of all time. Aaron Rodgers better than
him. Rich Keefe.
So, you know what I'm not a fan of, and I've never liked hippies. I pass on grass.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
Be all in. We're all out.
Put it in the open tomorrow.
Sell it.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It is the part of this program that always begins the exact same way, but it's kind of obligatory on our part, and it is simply thank you. Thank you to all of you. This annual Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon is not about us, not about the people who work at the radio station. It's not about the radio station. It has always been about the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the patients and the parents and the caregivers and kids with cancer. That's what this has always been about. And you guys responded in a huge way to the tune of over $3.5 million so far. And the final accounting isn't in yet. But I say it every year and I mean it every year. I couldn't be more grateful for your guys' participation.
Yeah, it's incredible to see, you know, year in and year out. And this year, $3.5 million and counting. You know, there's still going to be some more money going that way. But the stories that you hear, Dale, every year just take you back. And so many firsts this year, too. Like, think about it. You've been doing it for 18 years. This was my third year doing it. And you're hearing these new stories or just, they're so inspirational, too. The kids are so strong. It's so incredible to listen to their stories, but it's also the parents and the nurses and the doctors and everybody involved, and it's just an unbelievable 2 days.
We love doing it every year. We love being a part of it. We love involving you guys, which to me is, you know, one of the biggest parts of this whole thing. And it's just to see the players with the kids and
right.
with the patients.
Oh, they love it.
And to see the joy that they bring. And even if it's only for a few hours, even if that's the joy until, you know, the next round of treatment or whatever it is these people have to go through. It is worth it. I love it every year. I get nervous every year. I'm afraid, will I not say the right things?
Oh,
will
yeah.
Will I not tell the right stories? And you guys, thankfully, have made it all wonderful as always.
And it's also cool to see just the, you know, acceptance that there is, you know, just even outside of Boston, you know, the people like Alex Rodriguez who joined our show and, you know, Dana White is getting and he got involved with,
yep.
with the UFC and all these different people from the outside taking their time and so many of them donating money, all of the teams in the city. You know, it's so synonymous with the Red Sox, but it's really all the teams that get involved. We had players and coaches or owners from all the teams getting involved. And it was, you know, pretty cool to see.
One of the highlights for me beyond the people that we spoke to was listening to the four coaches yesterday afternoon on OMF.
Pretty cool.
And to hear, listen, Bill Belichick has put himself in the pantheon of arguably the greatest coach who's ever lived.
Right.
So it would be expected that the other coaches in this town would look up to and respect him, and they do. But it was fun listening to them all interact with each other.
Oh, it was amazing. And because you've heard that they all have a good relationship. And we've seen, you know, Brad Stevens at Patriots camp, or we've heard stories about, you know, Bruce Cassidy talking to Belichick or talking to Cora before the playoff run. And we've sort of heard these stories anecdotally. And, you know, Cora talks with OMF and, you know, you sort of heard that. But to see them all together, or yeah, I know Belichick was on the phone, but the three guys together and all four of them interacting, it was really cool. And you're right. You have Belichick, who is on a separate tier onto everybody else. Here's Belichick.
Absolutely.
In fact, those other three guys, you can add up their tenure in Boston, and it's still less than how long Bill Belichick has been here. But all four have been successful. And it is funny. The sports, and as OMF was talking with these guys and they were laying it out, the sports are obviously different, but what they're picking each other's brains about are all pretty similar. Like, how do you deal with the modern day athlete? How do you deal with distractions? How do you deal with making sure everybody's on the same page?
Like, that was the key, I think, for all the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
They were all talking about how if you go down, and I didn't know this. I have seen Cassidy and I've seen Stevens. I've seen them down at training camp. I didn't know until Stevens said it yesterday. He has sat in meeting rooms. He's watched them break down film.
Yeah.
I mean, the connection is even more. We thought it was a visit to the practice field during training camp.
Oh, it's a lot
more
than that.
But it's so much more than that.
Well, and I also wanted somebody to step in because Bruce Cassidy talked a couple of times about how, listen, my job's easy. He's like, I get Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron. So when guys show up, they're already going to listen to those guys.
Yep.
So my job's easier. Belichick obviously has Tom Brady, but he also has Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower and a whole bunch of other leaders on his team. Even Alex Cora, you know, Bogarts has turned into a leader. He's got Chris Sale. You know, it was a leader issue a couple of years ago. And you know, John Farrell's last year, it was a bit of a leader issue. Cora has those guys. I was waiting for somebody to bring up Stevens and say, well, you were supposed to have Kyrie Irving, and that was a disaster. So your job was actually the most challenging out of the four because you do need that next level. You know, that the best player on your team needs to be that guy that other guys can look up to and kind of follow around. It makes the coach's job or the manager's job so much easier. And Stevens last year didn't have it.
No, but it's obvious the admiration they have. And for Bruce Cassidy to say, you know, before we started the playoffs, I spent 20 minutes on the phone with Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just 20 minutes of, you know, what do you do? How do you prepare? And that sort of thing that you don't know about. They don't share it necessarily until yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that they had spent any lengthy period of time talking on the phone before a playoff run.
And again,
I don't know if it was the start of the playoffs or the start of the final, but either way.
Well, and then what's even more impressive about Bill Belichick and what the Patriots have had set up, and all the other 31 teams in the NFL are trying to pull it off as well, but he has 53 guys all with one message, all going in the same direction, whereas Brad Stevens is trying to break through to 13 guys. You know, Bruce Cassidy is trying to break through to, what, 22 guys or whatever it is. Alex Cora has 25 guys. So at least twice as many players Bill Belichick has to deal with, and yet that's the one that seems like it's the most, you know, well-run operation in all sports.
Let's listen to just a quick cut of Brad Stevens talking about what we were just discussing.
I think the thing that stands out when you go over and watch the Patriots do workouts, sit in meetings, sit in film, is they are on one page, they are in one direction, and his message, although has, you know, thousands of complexities within the each scheme defensively and offensively, his message is concise, and it's ultimately not only well delivered but well received, and you can tell that thing is a juggernaut. That thing is a train moving in one direction, and they know what they need to do to be successful. And I don't think it's brain surgery. The way that I've seen it from up close and afar is they don't beat themselves. And there are a lot of things in a football game that ultimately lead to that, and they're the best at them.
That was the other common thread amongst the other, well, coaches/manager. All of them said they don't beat themselves.
Right, right. And how many times do you see that in any of the four sports?
And ironically, Alex Cora talked about this. He said, the night before, we beat ourselves.
Right.
You know, it's the sort of thing that you can't do. And the Patriots seem to do less of it than pretty much anybody.
You know, I also wonder for those coaches, especially the newer coaches, something that they have to ask Belichick, and this has been years and years since Belichick's even had to deal with this, but how do you get the respect of the players? Like, how does that happen? Because Belichick doesn't have to worry about that now. Every player in the league knows he's the best coach. Every player in the league, whether they're 20 years old or they're 42 like Tom Brady, they all know that Belichick is the best. But at one time, he didn't have that cachet. He didn't have all the Super Bowl rings. Like, when he came here, he had the 2 Super Bowl rings as a defensive coordinator, but he didn't have them as a head coach.
He was considered a failure as a head coach.
So how do you take that time? And Cora's already won, but Cassidy and Stevens haven't won. I still think it goes back to maybe it was just a Kyrie issue, but it didn't seem like he respected Brad Stevens. And I wonder if that's something that he's talked about. It's like, how do you get that early in your career? You know, because like Belichick, Brad Stevens wasn't a former player in the league, so it's not like he can fall back on, well, this is what I did as a player, so I can relate to you. Nope, didn't have that. I think most players look at Stevens and say, this guy's great with the X's and O's. I respect what he's been able to do. He's been coaching, despite how old he is, he's been coaching a very, very long time. But I wonder if they talked to him about that. Like, when you were first breaking into the league, or when you, you know, go back to 2000, 2001 with the Patriots, what were some of the challenges there, and how were you able to, you know, sort of command that respect from all of your players?
And the other key that they all talked about, and all, even before Belichick joined the conversation, they talked about the importance of the veteran presence in the locker room. You know, in Bruce Cassidy's case, he talked about, you know, Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron setting the tone, you know, within the organization. You know, you think about, that was something that I think was lacking for the Celtics last year.
Didn't
and
have
they
it.
Had
yeah.
to they had to figure out in the offseason how to fix that.
And I think they did, even though, and again, we talked about it at the time. Individually, if you were just playing pickup basketball, you would take Kyrie Irving over Kemba Walker. But there were so many other issues with the team, and by all accounts, you see Kemba now. You know, he's the captain of Team USA as they're preparing for their FIBA World Cup. Now, I know it's not the Olympics. I know it's not all the stars in the league and so many guys backed out of it. But still, he's the leader of that team. He's clearly going to be the leader of this team. I think Marcus Smart has some of that, but I think it still helps when you're the best player. I think it's still very, very important, and that's what Kemba Walker is. So you hope that Brad Stevens-Kemba combination, you know, it's not two different messages. And if those guys are on the same page, it's going to be easier for the young guys to sort of fall into place, like it is for Cassidy and Cora and certainly Bill Belichick.
So tonight, the Patriots will play their third preseason game. It's their first home preseason game. And it is such a situation that we've evolved into over the years here with Bill Belichick. We don't question anything that he does now in the preseason. We question it, but we just automatically sort of give in. For instance, four of the Patriots' five starting offensive linemen haven't played a game yet.
Right.
I mean, you have not yet seen Cannon, Mason, Andrews, or Tooney. Haven't seen them at all. Obviously, you haven't seen Julian Edelman. He was just cleared to practice, you know, within this past week.
Right.
You haven't seen Tom Brady yet. You haven't seen Sony Michel yet. I have a feeling you'll see a lot of these guys. But even if you don't,
yeah,
that guy gets the pass down there. If he says they're not going to play, then they're not going to play.
Well, not only that, but, you know, they have sort of finally, I think, broken through to everybody that even the first month of the season for the Patriots doesn't matter. For some other teams, it can bury them. You go 1-3, certainly you go 0-4, you're not making the playoffs, you're done. Not that the Patriots would go 1-3 or 0-4, but they could dig themselves a little bit of a hole, or they could sort of ease into the season and sort of figure out, all right, here's, you know, what Sony Michel's role is going to be this year compared to last year. Or they can sort of, you know, tinker with the defense or do whatever they want and not look as good in September. But come December, they're the team that everybody expects. They can afford to do that. Part of it is because their division's so bad, but also because you have the confidence in the coach and the quarterback that they're going to be able to you know, turn things around no matter what.
If past is prelude, and it sometimes is, sometimes isn't, Tom Brady not only will play tonight, but you'll see him throw the ball around. Over the last 5 years, Brady has averaged 15.2 pass attempts in the third preseason game. Only once did he have as few as 10. He's going to play, based on past experience. He's going to play, and they're going to try to run their offense.
I don't need to see him, though.
No, you know, I wouldn't care if he didn't play.
But I think it's something that he probably wants to do, too. I think it's part of his preparation.
It sounds like he's been lobbying to play the first 2 weeks as well.
But the only way you do that is if you make sure that all five of the starting offensive linemen are good and able to go. You know, you're not putting
I think you're going to see
there.
All five in there tonight.
And you're not going to see him behind, you know, with Dan Skipper or Cole Crossen in front of him. Like, you're not going to see that. We'll see what his receivers look like. Like, that would be the one main thing for me. The big takeaway would be, does Tom Brady throw some passes to N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers? Isn't that the main thing that anybody would want to see?
Yeah, I wonder whether we will see Harry or not.
Yeah.
Because I think they probably will be and should be careful with him.
They absolutely should. They shouldn't have played last time.
Yeah. I agree completely. They shouldn't have played him last time. I'd be surprised if you see him. Yeah. I'm not going to be surprised if you see Edelman.
Yeah, maybe for a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I would sit him out too. Like, I would put a bunch of these guys on ice and just wait until, you know, the Sunday night against the Steelers in a couple of weeks and go from there. But as for Brady, yeah, you know he's going to want to play. And it's the new guys. And will a tight end emerge? Will somebody step up and sort of at least be that guy for a little while? What kind of chemistry does he have with some of the new receivers on the team?
Well, we'll all watch tonight, and I'll watch much more intently tonight than I did the first two. Because
you got to be committed to this thing. You got to watch all these games, start to finish.
Did you watch start to finish the first 2 weeks?
Soup to nuts.
I did not.
Soup to nuts. Yes.
Sorry, I was not looking at the Cole Croston Dan Skipper competition for the tackle
spot. Well,
so
when I ask you who's going to make the team, you can't have an opinion on it then.
I can have one. It just will be ill-informed. Yes,
Based on all the tape that I've been watching.
By the way, that makes me a sports talk show host in the city of Boston.
That's a good point. Maybe I'd be better off not watching the games than just talking about them later.
Throw stuff out there. Yeah. I'm going to watch because I'm convinced I'm going to see Brady tonight. Yeah. I want to see him. Now, I wouldn't care if he didn't play.
Yeah.
But, you know, how's 42-year-old Tom Brady look?
No, I mean, that's always...
Probably as good as 41-year-old
Tom Brady.
Always
the biggest story, and he's going to be the biggest story all year. And we can even get into what Adam Schefter said yesterday on the Greg Hill show. But also, for me, them having a rookie quarterback is worth watching. If their only backup was Hoyer, and it was a Hoyer game, I could see a lot of people saying, I don't care. But don't you want to see as many Jarrett Stidham reps as you can, just to sort of get a better... I know it's the preseason, but just to get a little bit better sense of what he is... Because obviously you don't want to see him take a single snap unless it's a kneel down in the entire regular season. But in the preseason, this is our time. I'm not schlepping down to Foxborough to watch training camp practice. I'm not doing that. So it's game day. What does Stidham look like?
Well, Andy Hart and I were down there.
No, I know you guys. Yeah, how'd Stidham look?
Actually, we were talking about him. He looked pretty good.
No, I know. And so that's a whole different level of intrigue. Like the rookies... And really, the guys that were drafted a year ago, because most of them missed the season due to injury, those are the guys that you really want to watch. The starters, you hope, don't play too much.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about preseason football as the morning goes along. We've got some baseball stuff we'll talk about. We have the weirdest baseball game ever. This is the first time the Red Sox have played in a game like this since 1968, where a game got suspended and didn't get completed the next day.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
The
whole thing about it is bizarre.
And, you know, by the way, they could not have finished the game that night. I mean, it was like Noah's Ark was needed to get out of there. The deluge came. They didn't really have many options. This was, I guess, what they compromised on initially.
So the 10th inning, right?
The Kansas City Royals have to fly to Boston to theoretically play four batters.
Yeah, you could get, because it is at the top of the 10th, so it's 4-4, top of the 10th. You could get a 1-2-3 inning and then a walk-off homer in the bottom of the 10th. Now, I don't anticipate that happening.
But it could.
But it could. $5. Get your sweet tail down to the game.
And by the way, the money being donated to the Jimmy Fund, I applaud the Red Sox for doing that. They know they're not going to have many people in there. No. I mean, if you've got a bunch of kids, and kids get in for free, but, you know, you're thinking, I'm going to get all the way down there. I'm going to pay to park. And then the game's going to last four batters. And
you know
I'm
what you do?
Head home.
What do you do?
You were concerned about whether or not you could finish your beer.
I did. Would they let you finish the beer? Would they let you hang out? Say I go down there, I buy two beers, right? I missed the top of the 10th because I'm in line for beers, right? I don't care. I'm listening to it in there. You can hear Joe and Bradfo.
Yeah.
And then I take my two beers. I'm walking down to my seat. And by the way, what I would do here, I would buy a whole row because $5 a ticket. All goes to the Jimmy Fund.
You don't want anybody sitting around you.
Up my chances of getting a foul ball.
Oh, you do have a better
chance.
And
the seats at Fenway are very uncomfortable. This way I get my own row. I
can
lay spread
down.
I can lay down if I want.
Hard to drink beer if you're laying down.
So what if I'm walking down there, I got my two beers in my hands, bottom of the 10th, home run. Are they shooing me out of there?
Hey,
or can
let's
I sit?
Go, sir. Let's
can
go.
Can I enjoy the day a little bit? Have a couple of pops? Maybe run the bases after?
Only kids get to run the pace. You took it too far.
All right. Can I take a kid with me down there? I got a kid now. I can bring her on the field.
Bring her?
Yeah.
And you could say, look, listen, she can't run on her own. I'm going to have to go with
her. I don't have to care. This is a lifelong dream of hers. You just let me kind of run around the bases a little bit.
Several months old, this lifelong dream.
How long do I have after the final out to hang out at the world's most historic ballpark?
How long is it going to take the kids to run the bases? Because they're not going to shoo you out until they're done.
No, they should.
You might be able to go back and reload those beers.
Hopefully they David Ortiz trot around the bases and you can be there all day. But I think it's a nice day. If I lived close and I had nothing else to do, I would absolutely go down there.
So there are all these rules that are hard, you know, some of these things, they're still working out.
Yeah. Infield fly.
Now, here's a for instance.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is a hard one, but
I'll listen.
This will make you sad.
Oh.
So it's after the seventh inning, right? Do
don't,
they sell
don't
beers?
Dare, do don't you dare. Don't you even dare suggest that they're not selling beers.
It's after it's the gotta seventh be inning.
Can we get an update? Shime, call
I'll
Fenway
get on
Park.
It, but...
Shime, call Fenway Park and find out about the beer sales.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
I mean, it's after the seventh inning, right?
Because I don't want to tell people not to go, but let's be honest. If they're not selling beers, just listen to it on the radio.
So, yeah, like you pointed out, Nathan Eovaldi's already pitched in this game.
Yeah.
He's not eligible to pitch today,
he
right?
He can have a couple beers.
He can sit with you in your row.
He's done. His job's over. Now, do you think he hits the showers anyway? Like that's
just afterwards.
Like, listen,
yeah.
It's just part of my routine.
Or is he out sitting on the bus, which is going Maybe. To the airport because they're yeah. flying to San Diego today?
That could be. Maybe it's BYOB. Do you ever think of that?
I don't think that.
If I bring a cooler in the Fenway, that would be a nice time.
So you've got this other situation about guys who are on the team now who weren't on the team then.
Right. Do you have to have the same lineup before?
I mean, do you have to go, you know, call some guy up from Pawtucket? Because, well, he was here back then.
It is odd. So they're going to probably, they should start the manager umpire little, you know, powwow they have before the game. They should start that now.
Did they bring the same umpiring crew back?
I hope so.
Did they make them fly in?
Yeah.
From wherever they were.
You want consistency, don't you?
I don't.
Those guys better be those guys.
The same guys. Oh, I got to fly back to
yeah,
Boston.
Because you get paid per game, don't you?
Well, and they haven't completed their duties.
No, they haven't. I got to see them out there. So I'm looking at it doesn't look like either team made any substitutions outside of pitchers.
Pitchers, yeah.
It seems like they're so do they have to bring everybody back? I don't know if anybody's like on the DL that wasn't
well,
before.
Well, like Chris Owings is here now. He yeah. wasn't here then, and by the way, I'd be fine if he didn't play.
Well.
I'm just saying. It's,
you don't like Chris Owings?
That was a pretty nifty pinch-hitting appearance last night, wasn't
he's
it?
He's a nice little player, you know?
That's
got to cut him some slack.
That's like the absolute worst thing you could say, isn't it? He's yeah. a nice
he's
little
a,
player.
You know, he's a nice player.
He comes up with a big pinch hit double yeah. the other night, and yeah. we all love him. And mm-hmm. last night he strikes out with runners at second and third, and we don't like him as much.
A lot of pressure on him.
So, though. Chris, you go back to Pawtucket.
Yeah, right.
Whoever's in Pawtucket now that was here mm-hmm. then, get them back up here.
What if a guy
was healthy then?
Yeah.
But is hurt now. He's got to play anyway,
put
right?
Put him out there.
Let's go.
Put him out there.
You were on the roster yeah. when we played this thing.
You got to go out there. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a mess. But it's kind of, you know, something different, though. I think baseball could use more one-inning games.
You know that whole pace of play
yeah.
thing?
Speed things
they
up
They are
nicely.
Addressing yeah. this in a, well, we say that. This thing will go like 2.5 hours.
Dale, if every game started in extra innings and it was $5 tickets and there were 1 o'clock
baseball
starts.
Baseball would go crazy.
It would be incredible.
If you could sell beer.
Right. That's, Sean, have you heard from Fenway yet?
I haven't yet. Okay. I got my source right behind me. I'll check in with him.
All right. Thank you.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We're back at our Brighton studios for the first time this week. We were at Gillette on Monday. We were at Fenway Tuesday and Wednesday. We're back here today. We are technically the pregame show for Red Sox baseball, but we probably won't talk a lot of baseball
no.
between now and 1 o'clock. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. Is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I will present to you what I have in front of me. This is an article. It is from today's the 21st, right?
Today's the 22nd.
22nd. It is from yesterday's
okay.
Edition of the Laconia Daily Sun, Laconia, New Hampshire.
Beautiful country up there.
And it is an article about two people arrested for drug trafficking during a drug raid in Weirs Beach in May, have been indicted on multiple charges, and they list these people, whose names I don't know.
Okay.
As the article points out, an indictment is not an indication of guilt. Rather, it is a finding that enough evidence of an alleged crime exists to warrant bringing the matter to trial. And it talks about these two people who were indicted. It said... It then lists others indicted by the latest grand jury session, and it lists a number of people for all different kinds of drug offenses. And included on the list is Patrick C. Chung, 32 years old, of Meredith, New Hampshire, indicted on a charge of possession of cocaine.
Could it be a different 32-year-old Patrick Chung?
It is possible.
Patrick C. Chung. Could it, a different Patrick C. Chung.
That's what 32. I'm asking, Lucy. That's correct. Could it be a different Patrick C. Chung who is 32 years old?
I guess it's possible.
Thank you.
I've also been told that he, in fact, does have a place up around Lake Winnipesaukee in the Meredith, New Hampshire area.
Okay. So... And
these
now,
indictments apparently came down yesterday. The
indictments came down yesterday.
The original arrests were in May.
But there's been a lot of stories where we have heard, we finally hear that a player has been arrested for one thing or another, and you find out that the incident was 6 months ago, 5 months ago.
No, this,
was, you know what I'm
this
saying?
Supposedly happened in May.
And right, so
the
like,
indictments
that's not that
just
crazy.
Came down.
Right.
Because obviously he's not up in Meredith, New Hampshire now. He's down in Foxborough every single day.
We've seen him down
I see him
the
every
field.
Day.
Right.
We've you know,
seen,
we the
see
practice
him down there.
Footage. I don't know that
wow.
this is a different Patrick C. Chung.
Well, this will get picked
32
up pretty
years
soon,
old.
Because this is, this hasn't been reported yet by Adam Schefter. This hasn't been reported yet by any of these guys. So I'm sure they're doing their legwork because, I mean, we're talking about it. So I think there's going to be some big-time NFL reporters kind of digging in on this. Getting a little bit more information.
Finding out if it's the same guy.
Right. Again, Patrick C. Chung, 32 years old, of Meredith, Dale. I feel like there's a chance it could be him, but what this all means.
Now, a bunch of the other people who are indicted, it sounds much more ominous. For instance, possession of fentanyl and meth. Intent to distribute, things like that. This Patrick C. Chung of Meredith was indicted on a charge of possession of cocaine.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you're comparing it to distributing meth, I mean, that is certainly
a whole lot different.
But that doesn't mean that that wouldn't be some sort of league-wide punishment as well. I mean, we'll see what comes of it, but never a boring day with the Patriots, that's for sure. There's always something that's popping up.
Now... What? He has not yet played in the preseason. He's been injured. He got hurt, you'll recall, in the Super Bowl. He's been recovering. He's down there every day. We see him.
Yeah,
he's
out
on the practice field.
Yeah, right.
He has not been cleared to practice, but he has been a part of what's going on down there since the start of training camp.
Well, it's funny. There was just a story written about him the other day. I think it was Nick Underhill wrote a story in The Athletic about how Patrick Chung is not exactly a coach, but he's basically an extension of the coaching staff when he's not in. And so he's an important guy, veteran guy. Again, we talk about he's 32 years old. His second stint with the Patriots has really been a whole lot better than his first stint. You know, when they first got him, and remember, he was a very high second-round pick. It's what they got in the Matt Castle, Mike Vrabel trade. And he was fine. Then he left, came back, and he's been really good. He's been a big part of that defense. And so we'll just have to wait and see sort of what the latest is and what comes of all of this. Because we've also heard from players, sometimes the league is so, it's unpredictable when it comes to suspensions and punishments and things like that. Sometimes the league works quickly, sometimes the league works incredibly slow.
Right.
So you have no idea if something like this could turn around and affect Chung for this season or what's going to happen. We'll see.
And again, I should stress, as the Laconia Daily News, I think it's called, as they stressed, an indictment is not a conviction.
Nope.
Or anything like that. But this Patrick C. Chung, 32, of Meredith, New Hampshire,
yeah,
where multiple reports are that Patrick Chung does have a home in Meredith.
Yeah. And it is Patrick Christopher Chung. So he hits that,
yep,
that mark right there. I've not met or heard of a lot of other Patrick Chungs in the world.
It would seem as though that's who we're dealing with.
Yeah, I would assume that is him.
We are dealing with Patrick Chung of the Patriots, who, according to a media report out of Laconia, New Hampshire, was indicted yesterday on a charge of possession of cocaine.
I am surprised that nobody's really picked up this story, though, or run with it. I haven't seen anybody, whether it be national reporters or any of the local guys, nobody's really gone with anything yet, so... We are in on the ground floor here.
I mean, my guess here is that, you know, not a lot of people have seen this article, which ran in the Laconia paper.
You don't think that's one of the ones that people go to in the morning? You don't think that's part of the routine?
I'm guessing NFL sources probably don't because they don't have an NFL franchise.
Do you need one of those accounts like at the Globe? Or how many articles do you have left at the Laconia Patch?
It doesn't say. It's the Laconia Daily Sun.
Daily Sun. How many articles do you have left?
Unlimited? All that I want.
No, I like that.
Based on what I'm reading here. Good. I mean,
check the archives.
There is a passel of people listed here who got indicted. I mean, without doing a count but just looking at the list, there must be 30 or more people here.
No Keefe's on there.
I didn't see one. Let me just make sure.
If you don't mind.
You do spend a fair amount of time in New Hampshire.
Right.
No, I don't see any Keefe's on the list.
All right. I didn't think you would. I just wanted to be sure. Yeah, just run it down. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if anybody's saying that Daron Harmon could be a surprise cut, I think his spot's a little safer now.
I don't know what this.
You might see them keeping an extra safety. Is all I'm going to say, Dale.
I don't know what the NFL's policy is here. I don't know how they handle.
I think they're anti-cocaine.
No. That wasn't my point. I don't know if an indictment means something in terms of the protocol within the NFL.
Well, remember there was that, what did Aqib Talib do a few years ago? It was something with a gun and he never even got in trouble and you just kept waiting for it. You're like, well, when's that suspension coming? And it just never did. So again, trying to figure out what the league is going to do, right? And I know they're all different, but like with Josh Gordon, for example, you're like, well, what's it going to be? You're like, nope, he can play. He's good to go. You're like, well, what? Hold on a second. And then you have all these other players, and they'll fight Ezekiel Elliott, or they'll do whatever else. So this one is sort of a, we'll see what happens. We'll see if I would assume by the end of the day, now that this is in this small paper, you know, by the end of the day, it's at least going to get picked up. It's at least going to be on the NFL's radar, if it wasn't already. You know, maybe
they may know.
They could very well know. Belichick could know. My guess is if this happened to Patrick Chung and being a veteran type guy on the team, I bet he already explained it to Bill Belichick or already explained it to whoever. I bet they've had that conversation. I could be wrong, but I bet they've talked about him. Because
you'd like to think that that somewhere down there, Burrish is going, what?
Yeah.
Look at what I just saw, Bill.
I think they have to wait and you know, see what the league says about it and kind of go from there. But I don't think that this would take Bill Belichick by surprise. That would just be my guess.
Well, that's the news as we know it, that a Patrick C. Chung, 32 years old of Meredith, New Hampshire, was indicted yesterday on a charge of possession of cocaine.
And I thought cocaine was going out of style. Am I wrong on that? I thought people weren't.
Thought it was displaced by White Claws. I mean,
well, that's just shime. I thought cocaine was not super popular anymore. Maybe I'm not on the in crowd.
I just think it's more now a niche drug would be my guess.
Niche? You think cocaine's niche?
To certain people that enjoy it, yeah.
Look at you, shime.
I don't know if it is. I feel like it's kind of gone down. I feel like you unfortunately.
I think the popularity has definitely gone down because I think people have found cheaper ways to get their
eyes. That's what I was going to say. Anyway.
617-779-7937. We get right to the calls with you coming up in just a couple of minutes. Red Sox baseball at 1 o'clock. It could last 4 batters. It could last 4 hours. Who knows?
We'll see.
We'll find out.
But, Dale, I do have an update on the beer sales.
Oh, good news.
I do have an update on the beer. I want to thank somebody for tweeting this at us. The concessions. Beer will be sold beginning when gates open and close at management's discretion.
Wow.
I don't know what that means.
Could be all night.
Could be all night.
Let's have a party.
Might just turn into the world's oldest bar is what it could be. But anyway, beer sales.
And you're going to have an entire row.
Yep, I'm back in. Thank you for passing
five
along.
$5 a seat? It seems well worth it.
Jeez.
Nobody to bother you?
No, it's a great deal.
617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Is the telephone number. As we get to the calls, and we'll do that, you know, right here. An interesting thing happened last night, which I find a bit perplexing. So Justin Verlander pitched his ass off last night in a losing effort.
As he does.
He loses by a final score of 2-1, gave up a home run, pitched a complete game, Gave up a home run in the top of the ninth inning to lose the game. And then apparently, in the aftermath of that, he decided that he would not do his press scrum, his post-game press scrum, if there was a reporter from the Detroit Free Press in attendance.
What's the story here? Why is that?
He evidently had a beef with these guys back when he was a member of the Tigers, whatever it is. So,
it's gotta be more than that.
A guy, a writer by the name of Anthony Fenech,
okay,
was blocked by the Astros at Verlander's request.
That's embarrassing.
The vice president of communications for the Astros, a guy by the name of Gene Diaz, said Verlander was adamant he would not speak to any credentialed media while Fenech was present.
What did this guy do? I need to know. Something bad.
Now,
he's
been the Tigers beat reporter since 2015 with the Detroit Free Press.
Well, that's not there very long.
But he's, you know, he's been around. He's a
2015
accredited
though.
Member of the media.
Yeah.
So at 9:35, the Astros opened their clubhouse to credentialed media, as Major League Baseball rules state they have to do. As media members entered the clubhouse, this Fenech, who's got his BBWA credential on, was blocked from entering by three Astros security officials. And there's a picture in the Detroit Free Press of these three guys blocking the door. They would not let him in. So evidently, they waited. When they did let him in, it was after Verlander had completed his media scrum. So this guy went up to try to talk to Verlander, and Verlander basically stormed off and said he wasn't going to talk to him.
It has to be something worse than he like criticized him, right? Or he, so this is, I just looked up Anthony Fenech on Twitter, and he does have 12 hours ago. He tweeted, "The Tigers beat Justin Verlander again. They continue to win the trade." So I don't know.
I think he was being a little tongue in cheek there.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I would say so. I mean, Verlander's been pretty good for a pretty good Astros team,
he's
obviously.
Really good.
But I don't know. There's got to be more to it. Like, did he insulted Kate Upton? Like, it's got to be something like that extreme. Because there's plenty of players that don't like certain beat reporters, but to be a baby about it and say, I'm not gonna talk if he's here. That's embarrassing for Verlander. That's why I got to assume there's another part of this.
So when they let Anthony Fenech in at 9:41, Verlander had finished talking. So Fenech went to Verlander in the clubhouse, who told Fenech, "I'm not answering your questions." When asked to comment on Wednesday's loss, Verlander walked away.
What is Verlander's problem?
A little thin-skinned. Now, unless there's something here,
that's
where
what I'm saying.
This guy,
we've never heard of it. We never heard. It couldn't have been that bad, or maybe it would have made national news.
I mean, unless this guy personally attacked Verlander's wife or something.
That's what I'm saying.
This seems like, you know, the height of thin skin.
What a baby.
Now, the Astros can't do this, okay? It's pretty cut and dried. There are rules that have to be followed that Major League Baseball has put in place. This guy is an officially accredited member of the BBWAA. He was wearing his credential as everybody else should. He tried to go in when every other member of the media was allowed in, and he was blocked and barred from entering by three security officials.
Yeah, I don't get it. That's definitely a Verlander. Seems like a Verlander issue, but also for the Astros, Steve would say that that's okay.
I mean,
imagine covering the team. Like, what would you do if you were another beat reporter and they're like, "This guy's got to go"? I'd be like, well, then screw it. Like, nobody should be there.
Well, you'd like to think that the other members of the media, my guess is they didn't even know what was going on as it was happening. You know, they're going into the clubhouse. They're going to talk to Verlander after the game. They don't even know this guy's been stopped at the door. That I'm just guessing here. So if he had made it into the clubhouse and Verlander basically said, "I'm not talking if he's here."
It is weird.
I'd like to think the other members of the media would say, "Okay, see ya."
But they wouldn't. And I'm looking at Fenech's article in the Detroit Free Press. It doesn't look like he even mentions this at all. You know,
he didn't actually mention it. His sports editor did.
Yeah. He goes through the whole thing and just talks about the game, talks about how they beat Verlander, how good Verlander was, but they still were able to beat him. That's about it. Nothing about, "Oh, by the way, he's a giant baby." Didn't
which
add that
you
at the end.
Sort of look like a giant baby, don't you?
Unless I hear another part of it, he comes across as an absolute tiny child.
Pretty much so.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-7937. We've given you all the news that's fit to print and some that we weren't allowed to talk about, apparently, because we've been barred from the Astros clubhouse. But we'll get to the calls with you guys coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
You're broken down and tired.
Nearly 3.5 million raised for the Jimmy Fund.
The Jimmy Fund in Dana-Farber, it's just amazing and wonderful to have the experience, and I'm going to beat cancer's butt.
With stories that inspire.
This has been a rough road, and then I started to think, but I want to see my daughter. I want to see my grandson, my husband, you know, sunsets, all of it. And so I said, I don't know, I'm going to try and fight this war. I feel better than I have in, I don't know, years and years, like I'm alive again.
Strength.
From the moment you walk in, every single person is in your corner. The last year when we were having one hard year, they made it go away. We can't remember the bad days as much as we can the great days.
And moments that made us smile.
What are you going to shout out before the game begins tonight? There you go.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say you're screaming like a banshee.
On behalf of all of us at WEEI, thank you once again for your support and for making the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon a success.
Here's something people don't work into their vacation plans.
I'm with Bob, president of J.N. Phillips Auto Glass.
A broken windshield.
Ugh.
You don't have to give up a precious day of your vacation. We'll send a mobile van to wherever you are.
Even the Cape and the Vineyard?
Absolutely. When you're at the beach, the golf course, campground, we'll perform the safest, most convenient replacement possible while you enjoy your day.
Just call 877-AUTO-GLASS.
Or visit jnphillips.com, because there's a lot more behind.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.